Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
And this is Devin Leary, and I'm joined by an angel dog named Gracie this week. What I'm dog sitting for?
Oh yeah, Gracie is very cute, very cute. And as I was just telling Devin, there's dogs sometimes that don't mesh with me.
This is something that's actually affected Carolina and I's friendship a little bit, because I am deeply, obsessively in love with two of your dogs.
Yeah.
And one of them I just haven't
connected with.
He's not on the same level for me personally.
So I want to tell you something funny about this, which is that you think this is a revelation, but once I had a little puppy named Mr. Rogers, I had him as a puppy. I told you, like, I'm really having trouble connecting with this puppy, Mr. Rogers, because I love my big dog, which is named Grandma. I love Grandma so much that, like, Mr. Rogers is just, he's not competing. He's not computing for me. I'm having trouble. He's not latching. And I was talking to my friend Chelsea about it, and she said, oh yeah, Devin told me that she doesn't really get the little dog. And I was like, interesting, interesting. See, Devin hadn't opened up to me about that yet, that she wasn't, that Mr. Rogers hadn't latched on her yet.
Well, I hadn't opened up about that, but you have to admit that every time I was at your house, I took minimum 75 photos of Grandma, and I probably had one or two. Like, at one point, I gave you a gift, which was a shirt with just pictures of your dogs. And I remember I had to mine Instagram for pictures of Rogers, whereas Grandma, I just had at the ready plenty of photos.
It's hard. People feel differently. People feel differently. And I'm okay with that.
How has your week been, Carol?
I have a bone to pick.
Oh, no.
I just feel like, in the words of Casey Wilson, people don't know how to act. They don't know how to behave. They don't know the right thing to do, or maybe they do. And I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they don't. I've been dealing with this thing recently, which is men via text.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really bothering me. I don't think men know how to text. And I have a friend who this guy would start fights with her over text and then just disappear. And so she was left being like, wait, what the fuck just happened? He just accused me of spying on him, and now he's not responding to my texts. And we were across the street from his house spying on him, but we were still like, wait, what the heck is going on?
He still shouldn't have said that.
He shouldn't have said, don't accuse me of spying, I said, in your window.
Now, I'm having trouble. I'm sitting here thinking I want to comment on this, but I'm having a little bit of trouble given that I am someone who has started fights over text. That being said, I've never disappeared from a fight. If anything,
exactly, ever.
I will dig my feet miles down into the sand.
Where do
into
I gotta
fight.
Go? I'm fine. I've never been less tired than in the middle of a text fight.
You would need a freight train to drag me away from a fight. I had a friend say to me once, like, the problem is that I'm always waiting for someone to come to me and say, hey, I've actually been thinking about everything you've said, and I realize you're 100% right about everything, and I really do need to start acting the exact way that you've said I need to start acting. So I'm just going to start doing that starting tomorrow. And she was like, the problem with that is that that's never going to happen. Like,
I know.
It's so rare that that happens.
It's tragic.
It's okay for my point to not be fully absorbed. Like, I'm having trouble moving on from, like, okay, you didn't fully observe my point. And, like, that's okay. Like, you're just not going to see this the same way as me. That's what I struggle with, because I'm like, okay, I do think that it's better to be happy than right. I don't know. But at the same time, like, I do think that I make an active effort to be, like, a decent human being. And it's enraging when other people have never... For me, like, the active attempt to be a decent human being comes from a place of total humiliation in my life that forced me to look at myself. And I just sometimes think, like, did other people just, they never had that? Like, they never had, like, the ego crush or something. Like, why is it that it's easy for them to move on without self-reflecting? I also think, though, that, like, society, society raises men and women differently.
Wait, are you freaking serious?
I'm being serious right now. It's like that whole he's just not that into you thing, that whole philosophy was based on. Women always tend to think, like, something must be wrong with me. Like, why doesn't he like me? Something must be wrong with me. I have to work on myself. Whereas men, I think, aren't raised to think that way. I think men are more raised to, like, look outward, because we've always assumed men will be responsible for everything outward. Like, men will just go outward and succeed and women will stay inward. Am I making sense, or
no,
am
you
I
are.
Sounding like a marble mouth?
No, it reminds me of when I was learning how to drive here in Los Angeles, California, and I got a driving instructor who in retrospect was completely inappropriate with me and asked me how I give blowjobs.
No.
But
no.
But I hope you believe me when I say he, besides that, he was a really good
guy.
Okay,
wait. What did you say when he said that?
I feel like this all sounds completely insane, so just go with it. Starring Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston, but we somehow got to talking about sex in a very casual way, like I would with a guest on the pod. Like
So he was Dax Shepard.
He was my Dax Shepard. For all of a sudden, it was just that we were talking about sex and. I was like, this is kind of weird, but whatever. I don't care. I really do need to know how to drive if I'm going to be living here.
Right.
But one thing that he said that I did completely agree with was he said, stop thinking about what other drivers are thinking about you. Because I kept on being hesitant. He said, my female driving students are always worried about what the other drivers are thinking about them or if they're doing a good job or not. And he said, guys never worry about that. They're just like, oh, I gotta get off here. Ooh, sorry. Yay. And girls are like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, no. The idea that people think that we're fucking up somehow. And I do think it's funny. Like I replay things from 2008 in my head regularly, and not just the good things like when Obama was elected, but you know, like stupid things I did. I replay them. I wonder if people are thinking about them. I can't imagine behaving the way some people I know behave and just walking around like everything's fine.
I know.
I mean, it really makes me cuckoo. Holly Brennan, great friend of the pod, has her famous saying, which is that shame is an evolutionary construct. It's like, actually, shame came for a reason. You're not supposed to feel good about not tipping. You're not supposed to feel good when you cheat on someone. You actually are supposed to feel bad about that. I'm sorry, but that's how, you know, that's the normal human response.
I know. And it's like, yeah, just fucking eat this consequence. Like, that's what I want to say to people sometimes. Like, not to humble brag, my mom did always say that she thought I would be a lawyer when I was a kid because I just, like, would argue even, like, about...
Honestly,
not...
that would only be a humble brag if you were a lawyer.
I know. Meanwhile, I dropped out of college and here I am now. But like I would argue about like not being able to watch American Idol on a Tuesday. Like, I would have like a case for that. Like I'd be like, well, actually, it's Tuesday night. I finished my English homework, finished my math homework, and tomorrow I have a half day. So in what world? I would argue like because my brother and I had different school schedules. I would like present arguments about how if he had a day off from his school, I should get to have a day off from my school because it wasn't fair. And like pretty obvious why that's not fair. But if I have to break it down for you, I will.
You are the best person to have on my side when I know I have a righteous case on my hands.
Love a righteous case.
Because I'll call Devin up. I'll say, okay, here's the situation.
Okay.
And immediately when I say the egregious crime that's been committed, she'll go, no. And I'll go, yep. And she'll go, no, just no. And then she'll say, you know what? I mean, we just did it for about an hour over dinner and it's truly cathartic.
Okay, you just presenting that scenario right now where you just said, like, I call Devin up and I say, like, here's the deal. My blood, I can feel pulsing through my veins. Like, I'm like, give me the case now, lay it on. Like, I need to know. Now that I'm saying this out loud, it's like, it is pretty clear I should have been a lawyer, and yet I'm not. And I'm actually glad I'm not because I have complicated feelings about the legal system. But
we've also both identified as not organized people. Shout out to our producer, Olivia, who is an organized person and is literally...
Literally, Olivia's listening to this right now. I'm like, I could easily be a lawyer. She's like, Devin can't send me a one-paragraph description until, like, the second before this podcast comes out. Like, Devin has lost track of very expensive recording equipment. Like, it is not... So, Olivia, I'm sorry. And the next thing I'm about to say is also going to be a little bit hypocritical given what I've just revealed about myself. But the thing I was going to say is ingrained in me is this rage that comes up when I think people are not seeing the fuck ups of other people. Like in my workplace.
You like exposing. You want them.
Yes,
people to
I
be
want
exposed.
To expose. Yeah. And I feel like I've always struggled in working
exposing
in production.
Others.
I've always struggled with my constant exposing of others. No, but like working in production environments and like seeing someone's just not doing their fair share and I just want like everyone to know that. Or like if I think someone's having an affair, like, I want to expose it. Even if I don't know them, I have no stakes. I'm like, this is just, like, are we going to send an anonymous tip? Are we going to, like, write a letter? What are we going to do? Because something needs to be done. And so, again, why can't I take that energy of, like, something needs to be done and direct it towards being productive? That's an interesting question, and I don't know, but it's interesting. And if anyone has thoughts, it is something that, again, like, my therapist is like, what's the historical source? And I really don't know. It just is something that's a part of my life.
Devin, how's your week?
My week is good. I have listened to, much like Carolina just got into the Beatles about 45 years after they were popular, I just listened to Slow Burn about 45 years after it came out. And I have had my mind blown. I've been riveted. But it's that thing where, like, this has happened to me many times because I'm, like, a true crime freak, where it's like you start to learn about something and it's like, obviously no one's talking about that right now. And you're like, who wants to talk about the Star Report? Like, they're talking about how the Star Report in the podcast, like, the Star Report came out.
The Ken Star Report?
Yeah, the Ken Star Report came out, and people are like,
this is about the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Yeah, it was like a beat-by-beat account of, like, everything that happened because Ken Star was hired to look into the Whitewater scandal, but he didn't really look into that. He ended up just looking into the Lewinsky scandal, and he published, like, this very perverted expose of, like, all of their sexual encounters, whatever. And so I'm hearing, like, in the podcast, they're playing news stories of, you know, whoever the fuck, Tom Brokaw or something, asterisk for the A in Brokaw, obviously. like, he's talking about, like, oh, I'm down by the newsstands and Americans are just lining up, getting ready to get their copy of the Star Report. Libraries have them at the ready for people to read. And I'm like, I kind of wish I was there. Like,
I know. Speaking of Monica, we are going to do an episode on her. So stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned for that. And also, it segues into our current episode because Monica
was betrayed by a friend.
Linda. Yeah, bitch. Hey, Linda.
Linda, trip over your fucking ugly shoes and into a pile of mud. Linda, trip. Linda, Carolina. Trip.
Carolina, I hate to say this. I'm so sorry. She did pass away. She did pass away. I'm like, wait, I'm hearing you say trip over your shoes, and I'm like, she's gonna regret that because Linda Tripp did pass away.
Okay, I was out of the country.
So it's tough. So, I mean, on the one hand, RIP. On the other hand, listen, you fucked with Monica, and that was not cool with us. So speaking of friendships, we wanted to talk about female friendships. We reached out to the community of our loyal listeners who we love so damn much. It hurts. And we heard that people were interested in an episode about female friendship and friendships in general.
So we have a bunch of questions, and we're going to take a quick ad break and then get to those.
And then we'll be right back. Yeah, that's fine. We'll be right back. We have, like, a really high functioning friendship. Okay. I want true
romance. And we're back with True Romance. We are talking about female friendships or friendships. We don't have to slap a gender on it.
Well, I have male friends, but I wouldn't be writing questions about them. Let's just say that.
We have some questions in our inbox. I am going to start with one. I actually need to know the whole situation because I'm a new Z, but it says, a friend broke my trust. They never took accountability for doing so. Do I forgive them? I know Devin's answer.
Yeah, I'll say this. This has happened to me quite a few times with someone sitting right in my presence. No, this is really hard.
Gracie.
Gracie betrayed my trust when she literally shit for the sixth time in one day. And I was like, I thought I didn't even need to bring the bags. But guess what? She's shitting again. No, I have been betrayed. I have, as Lauren Conrad once said, I have been burned by so many friends, especially lately. Okay, don't ever forget those words. I have also been burned by friends. And it's hard. I have, in most instances, come back from it. But there was one time that I was complaining about one specific friend's behavior that was very, like, it was a pattern. Like, they consistently did this thing. that really bothered me. And my friend that I was talking to at the time said basically like, well, you can continue being friends with them or not. But if you continue being friends with them, it sounds like this is what it's going to be like. This is how this person behaves. And that was a tough pill to swallow, but that's kind of the truth. It's tough to stay in something waiting for an apology that's not going to come, as Carolina has said before. In my personal experience, it's been that I've either had to accept that the apology probably won't come or may never come. And can I accept this person's behavior despite that? Is the friendship worth it to me despite that? Or if it's not, it's not. And that's another thing to look at.
Fights make you evaluate why you're friends with this person in the first place. If they're not that serious, then no. Or if it was something like between me and Devin, even if we were in a fight, we fight like sisters, they say.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes I've been in fights thinking, doesn't this person know that I couldn't hang out then because I was sick? And, you know, I'll think about how, oh, God, I have to make it up to them. I have to apologize. And I'll think, wait, why am I friends with this person?
Yeah.
And that, and do I want to put the emotional energy into making up? Do you want to put the emotional energy into forgiving them? Or as Lauren Conrad said, do you want to forgive them and forget them?
Yeah.
And obviously it depends what the breach of trust was, because also sometimes you can be friends with someone and just know you can't trust them. And I know that sounds crazy. And that's what Garcelle is dealing with, trying to decide if she wants to be friends with Lisa Rinna, because Lisa Rinna said, I can't promise you that I'm not going to talk shit about you.
I know.
But, you know, there's people that I think are so funny and amazing, and I definitely wouldn't trust them with like a secret.
Right. No, that's true. I've had friendships move to like more surface level things where it's like, okay, I used to like stay up all night till 6 a.m. telling you everything. And like, we were best friends at a certain time in our lives that we both needed that. But like, now I definitely wouldn't give you any kind of like serious information. I do struggle with that because I am like an oversharer where I'm like, okay, well, actually, like, in this moment, I just need to get this off my chest. And like, I don't know if I trust you or not, but like, listen.
We have two questions asking about how to be friends with someone with a gnarly alcohol addiction or a drug addiction. I know nothing. I've done this wrong so many times. It's hard when you love someone and they're hurting themselves. People can be in denial about their situation for as long as they want. I can tell people the truth at least once, and then I kind of have to leave it. I can't just constantly berate people. Some people know the right thing to do, they just don't have the strength to do it. And I'm not trying to say like I count myself as one of those people in a lot of situations, and some people have that around alcohol and drugs. I read this book called Guts, which was written by Kristen Johnston of Third Rock from the Sun fame. It's really good. And she has this great story about when she was in the hospital, she, in a very bizarre chain of events, basically took too many pills and busted up her guts and was in the hospital for like months.
Wait, busted up her guts? What does that mean?
She thought she was taking a certain kind of opiate that they make differently in London. She was in London when she took it, and she took like 30 of them, and they erode your stomach lining if you take too many of them. So literally she almost died on the table. Like, they were asking her to call her friends and family. Wow. But she was doing this because she was a alcoholic drug addict. Anyway, she's really upset that a friend hasn't checked in with her. And so she basically writes her an email being like, I'm really pissed at you. You haven't checked in with me. I'm in the hospital. And her friend writes back, Kristen, I believe you're an alcoholic and a drug addict. And, you know, she gets to the point where she says that email basically saved her life. So you can say that you see what's going on. You don't have to count how many drinks they have. You can say you see the truth, that you think there's a problem, you're worried about them, and you can make a boundary around it. I don't want to see people get fucked up if I think that they're sick.
Yeah. On the one hand, I think it's true that there's nothing you can do for a person who doesn't want to help themselves. Like, there's nothing you can do to, there's nothing any human can do to get another human over an addiction. Like, they need bigger help than a friend can provide. And I've had that experience where I've realized in trying to be helpful to a friend, like, the conversation moves beyond friendship, and it becomes something that only a professional could really help with. And that's really hard. And I have done everything under the sun to try to control the addictions of people around me. And so, yeah, so on the one hand, it's like, there's nothing you can do to like convince someone to get help if they don't want it. On the other hand, I also have had friends who were honest with me about my addiction that I do credit with like helping save my life, friends who like made boundaries or said like, I don't want to hang out with you anymore, or you really hurt me, or you're out of control. That stuff really did stay with me. So I think that being honest is helpful. At the same time, like, take care of yourself first, and like, boundaries are for you. It's not for the other person. That's something I learned recently. It's like, I thought I was like, okay, I'll create the perfect boundary so that this person is okay, and so that they'll do what I think they need to do to be okay. In reality, a boundary is for myself to feel safe. So it's like, an example would be if you were to set a boundary in your friendship that was, I can't be friends with you if you continue to engage in this addictive behavior. That boundary wouldn't be like, okay, so this is for the other person to realize like they need to stop doing what they're doing. That boundary is, I don't feel safe being in a friendship with someone who's engaging in addictive behavior. So I can't be in a friendship like that. It's not like, so are you going to do it? It's just, this is my thing. Either that works for you or it doesn't, but that's not my business. And like, that was a really helpful thing for me to realize, because it's the most important thing is to keep yourself safe and sane so you can show up for people in your life who really want a present friend.
Right. It's hard when I realize how powerless I am over people's lives. I really do believe that if I say it the right way, if I explain something the right way, I just really sell this concept, you'll get it, and then you'll be okay, and then I'll be okay because you're okay. And I've just never produced that result, and maybe that's me. But Beth Cohen wrote in, friend of the pod, foe of the pod. She wrote in, my friends started a pod. One of them is really funny and the other tries really hard to help.
Listen, we all know who the one friend is who tries really hard.
Because I liked the song Yellow Submarine when I was a kid, I guess.
No, Beth, there's so many moments that happen in my day-to-day life with Carolina where I just think, oh, I wish Beth was here.
Devin says, I wish Beth was here whenever I do something embarrassing. And it makes me feel as if Beth is there and they're both laughing at me.
And what was the most recent example? She couldn't say Nexium. She still can't say Nexium. She says Nixiam. Instead of Nexium, the cult, the vow, she says Nixiam over and over again. And like, she can't not say it.
Okay, this question is for me. What should I do if I feel I'm growing apart from someone I used to be really close to?
As Carolina slowly backs her chair out of the room and locks herself out.
What should I do if I feel I'm growing apart from someone I used to be really close to? These questions are so hard. Well, if it's a person you're dating for a really long time, I feel like if it's a relationship that you do value and you're just kind of numb to, I would give the relationship all of your attention for like a month and see how that affects things. And when I say all your attention, I don't mean away from work. I mean, just go to it with enthusiasm instead of like, what do you want to watch? Okay, thanks. All right, good night. I think that once we feed things with enthusiasm, sometimes we get those feelings back. If it's a friendship, I don't know. I mean, I have interesting friendships where I won't talk to people for a while. People I feel very close to. And, you know, I just reached out to a friend today and I told them, oh, I haven't talked to you in a while. They're younger than me. And so I said, I don't want to be a helicopter mom and like bother you. I just want to make sure you're okay. And they were like, I'm great. Bother me anytime. And depending on how often you speak to this person or whatever, it's okay for things to fluctuate.
Yeah.
Or they don't have to be as close as they once were. So I also think that if you want someone in your life, you have to make an effort, just like you would with a relationship.
Yeah. I've definitely drifted apart from people and it's always uncomfortable. And I think that is something where I've had to ask myself in the past, like, do I really want to be friends with this person, or do I just feel like afraid of losing something, or like afraid that I'm hurting their feelings? It's like, you don't have to be friends with anyone. You can actually choose who you have in your life. And I know there's like different pressures that come with like whether you work with someone or they're in your group, but it's like, how do you feel when you're around this person? Do you feel safe and good? And like, if you don't, that's okay. It just means like you're not in the same place. And it is like a hard thing. I think most people have this experience where like you have a time in your life where like, whether it's college or high school or just out of college, like where you're all young and hanging out all the time and no one has like serious responsibilities and you're going out every weekend and like, what's everyone doing? Let's meet up, whatever. And it is really uncomfortable to get older. And it kind of reminds me of like in a relationship when you get past the honeymoon stage and it's like really uncomfortable to get into the it's like uncomfortable to become comfortable, because you're like, wait, we're in like this new phase now. And I've felt that way recently, where it's like, oh, my friends are actually getting married and moving into houses and stuff. And it's like, it's actually never going to be like it was, but this is just a whole new chapter where it's like, we're going to show up for each other in different ways. And yeah, like Carolina said, it's our responsibility to make sure we're still showing up no matter how different life looks. And I think that's really cool. I think that's how people end up having generations of stories about like different times their friends have been there.
Yeah. And also, I think there's nothing stopping from reaching out. You know, I've reconnected with some friends recently, and it's been something I was really nervous about, and it's been so much fun.
Are those friends the Beatles?
I've reconnected with Sir Paul. Another question: why do I always disapprove of the men my friend dates, even if it's casual dating?
Okay, this is something I was just thinking about, where like there's this thing that happens where I have become the type of person where it's like I try not to say anything unless directly asked when someone's talking about their relationship, because I have, as I've said on this podcast so many times, like said too much about a friend's relationship, and then they don't feel comfortable talking about that person to me anymore, and I like feel alienated from them. But I think there's this thing that's really funny that happens that maybe we've all experienced, where like your friend talks about a relationship and how tumultuous it is, and like you're always there to listen, you're always there to listen and trying not to be too honest, but then sometimes you just like are really tired and you're like, you know what, I can't do the facade tonight, like he's an asshole, I can't. You know, like I think that's funny how that happens, where sometimes it's like you just can't hold back. But I think sometimes it's important to hold back for the sake of that person feeling safe with you. And I don't think people are ready to see the truth about their relationship until they're ready. And I don't think they want to see the truth about it unless they're directly asking for the truth. And so it's hard, because it's like you care about your friend, you love them, you want what's best for them, but sometimes they're not ready for what's best for them. And sometimes it's like that Sex and the City thing where all the friends react differently to Carrie cheating on Aiden with Big, and Samantha just doesn't judge her.
Yes. Best.
And she's like, that's just not my thing. Like, I love you and I don't judge you for it. That's what Carrie needed at that time. She wasn't ready for the like,
right,
you didn't do the right thing. Like, but Aiden's great for you and Big is toxic. She wasn't ready to hear that. She just needed someone to say like, I don't judge you, I get why you did it, I love you.
Yeah. And I also think that, like, what are we judging for actually? Because a lot of times, like, I just want, I don't think anyone deserves my friends. And I'm being sincere when I say that. Like, I think my friends are some of like the funniest, like most That's beautiful, true, yeah. magical people.
That's true. They are the most beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. You are right. So I always just have really high standards, higher standards than I have for my friends than I do for myself. Truly. If someone's not treated well, I usually just try to keep reminding them that, like, you deserve to be treated well. You deserve to be treated well. You deserve to be treated well.
Yeah.
But in general, I feel like, what do I know is, like, a good answer sometimes. I mean, obviously a lot, because I decided to make a podcast about romantic issues. But I'm constantly referencing personal stories for what's going on in someone's life. And that what's happening in their life doesn't have anything to do with me or anyone I know. It's a completely new situation. So yes, red flags are real. Yes, like all of that stuff you can call out. But if it's someone that you feel like isn't treating them well, then they just need your love and a lot of gentle nudges in the right direction. It reminds me a little bit of the addict thing, in that you can tell the truth once if someone's dating someone who's truly awful. Where it's like, yeah, I don't think he treats you well. I think you deserve better. I would help you leave if you left tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if they get engaged, be like, congrats, you know, like, unfortunately, I think life is complicated like that sometimes.
I know. I have been in a relationship that once I got out of it, I realized like wasn't good, just didn't make sense at all. Like we weren't right for each other. And at that time, I was constantly pointing out what was wrong with other people's relationships, almost as like a escape thing. But it was subconscious. Like I don't know. I think I just didn't want to look at my own relationship. But the truth is, like, you really don't know what's going on in another person's relationship unless they're telling you. And if they're telling you stuff that just really doesn't sound good, like Carolina said, I think, like, you can be honest once. But I don't know. And I also just want to say, like, when I read your DM, I just thought, like, this person's such a good friend that you care that much and, like, to ask for help about it and, like, really want to show up for these people. But you just, it sounds like you really love them and care about them and want the best for them. So I think that's a beautiful thing, because I can't say the same for me. I don't give a fuck who Carolina drags around to her debutante balls. I say what Tom says about Erica. If you can afford her, you can have her. That's me to Carolina.
Yeah, that's true. I want true romance. I'm going to paraphrase our next question. So it's not verbatim, but it is, my ex's friend slid into my DMs and told me I was beautiful. What do I do? Why did he reach out?
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about my ex still affects me, even though I'm in a happy relationship now. Well, your ex's friends is a sticky pot that I've definitely put my hand in. And I don't regret it. I really don't. I mean, I'm sorry to say that, like, it turned out fine for me. My ex and his friends, their relationship has nothing to do with me. And it's not that as clean as it sounds, but if they haven't spoken in years, which in this situation had been the case, you know, the girl's got to eat. I'm just kidding. But
I mean,
but yeah, I in this situation, you're in a happy relationship. You got bombarded by a memory, it sounds like. It sounds like an appearance of a ghost. It's like, even when you're totally fine, you're totally fine, you're totally over someone, the reminder of an ex that you have had emotional turmoil over, even in the past, is still like, it gives you like the shivers.
Yeah.
It's like a chill goes over the room. I remember thinking I was totally over an ex, and someone brought the girl they were with up, and I like basically went catatonic for like a full 10 minutes and then was okay.
Yeah.
But it messes with your head. It messes with your head. And I think we'd all like to be, or at least I would like to be, the kind of person who doesn't get touched by anything. I really do. And sometimes I act like that because I feel like I'll just act myself into right thinking. And recently I've just been thinking like, I mean, it's not really who I am at my core. And that's actually totally fine. So you don't have to do anything about it, because it sounds like from your question that it just made you think about your ex. That was the thing.
Yeah. And like, when you go through a breakup and then your ex's peripheral people, like, you don't unfollow all of them right away because it just would be too many people. And so then I've had the experience of, like, I didn't unfollow all of my ex's friends from like high school who I met at one wedding or whatever. And they would post a picture on their story of the ex. And I'd be like, oh shit, I forgot that this person is connected to them. And then, I don't know, that's like a haunting thing. It's just become impossible to like stay away from the evidence of your exes. Like, we all missed out on the time of like, you break up and you'll probably never see or talk to the person again. Although like, that probably had its own kind of sadness, again, also because it sounds dreams. Like it occurred in a time when there was rampant racism and probably Nazis and probably more Nazis out in the open than there are now.
The 1940s, right?
But it's like they could have just never seen them again. Whereas we are like,
your ex had gone off to war.
Yeah, we're like, okay, well, even if he does go off to war, like, he has his iPhone there and he's probably gonna post selfies. And so that's tough. But I had an experience recently where I saw a photo of an ex that I hadn't seen like any evidence of in a long time because they aren't active on social media. And then I like didn't really think about it, but then I had a nightmare about the person that night. Like, it does mess with you.
Exactly.
The last question is, how do you handle friend jealousy? I'm the odd one out in a group of three, always torturous, by the way.
I was like in agony reading this question. I was like, oh, this is the worst feeling.
Okay. Meanwhile, I'm like, sorry, I guess I do that to Carolina, but I'm like, that sounds really hard. I wonder who has to
go
through that.
You don't do this to me. No, you don't do this to me.
Okay. I'm the odd one out in a group of three where we all live together.
I'm offended that you think you do this to me, but continue.
I'm like, oh, this sounds like Carolina. She's the odd one out in any group.
Exactly.
We're in. Carolina, what's it like to be the odd one out in any group we're in? You would know. Okay, so I'm the odd one out in a group of three where we all live together. Me and my one roommate used to be best friends before we all live together, but now I feel like I've been replaced. That is so hard, to the point where it's not even fun to be around them. They have so many inside jokes, and it's just like, even when we do all hang out, I feel like I can't keep up and I'm very excluded. Okay, that sounds so hard, especially with the element of living together. Inside jokes are
evil.
Evil. They are a direct form of human harm that should never have existed. I remember like being in middle school and like just the desperation to get an inside joke with someone so that you can prove like you're close. Is that normal?
I remember
murdering someone in middle school because I really wanted to have an inside joke, and I thought if I force someone to be an accomplice in murder to me,
is this what you're all talking about all the time?
Maybe then we would have an inside joke.
I remember being in middle school, and the really rich girl in my grade had taken her and her friends to the premiere of Dirty Dancing Havana Nights. And with Diego Luna, who I was so attracted to that I would look up pictures of him online at night. Okay. And I remember they pretended that they hadn't gone, and were like, oh, don't spoil the movie for us, Carolina, even though they had all gone and just not brought me. And I was so hurt, so embarrassed. And the love I had for Diego Luna made it all the worse. So this hurts because you love your friends, not because you love Diego Luna, who I really truly believe didn't get the career that he was supposed to have. He was supposed to be a superstar. And I think with these things, it's so hard because you already feel vulnerable, right? Like, you already feel, being on the outside of anything like this makes you feel so exposed, so vulnerable. I can like feel it with you. And I'm like, I'm right there with you, babe. And at the same time, like, sometimes the answer is more vulnerability, which is like, what the hell? I'm not doing that. Like, it's like, okay, well, I have to basically, I want to be in more, but I want to be cool. I want to be asked in. I don't want to like say that I need, you know, your focus. And so I would start with just like asking, you know, to doing some one-on-one time with whoever you're closest to, whether it be the one or the other. Once I asked our friend Hannah what to do when Devin and Beth and some other friends are being mean to me, and she said, tell them to shut up.
Wait, I feel so sad.
No, Devin, it was fine.
Okay, now I'm making you responsible for me feeling sad.
No, I was... everyone was making fun of me because I didn't smoke cigarettes correctly. And
you really
hurt at the time.
You really didn't, though.
I know. And it's something I apparently will never live down, is that I didn't smoke cigarettes all the way through.
All I'm going to say is Hurricane Sandy, shortage of cigarettes. Someone throws a barely smoked cigarette off the side.
Oh, this makes me want a cigarette. No.
Okay. So I'm just saying,
we're
like,
off topic.
This is what we're talking about. But okay. So I relate strongly to this. I was in a threesome group of friends in middle school, and the absolute desperation with which I approached being close with them was a little bit scary. And if they hung out, it just was like, it just devastated me. And actually, as an adult, like, because their houses are close together, sometimes I'll see on social media that they like hang out around the holidays, and I still get this like core thing where I'm like, oh, they're hanging out without me. Like, and it's just really hard. But yeah, I agree. Like, I have definitely had these kinds of vulnerable conversations, like, and I think it's really important to get to a place where you can have that level of comfortability in a friendship like Caroline and I have, where we can say to each other, like, oh, are you mad at me? Or like, I felt like a difference between us. Or like, why do you have like your foot like really close to my face right now, like on the couch? That is really what keeps our friendship so strong. That and the fact that Carolina is financially tied to me through this podcast.
It really keeps us strong. It keeps us honest. We have to talk every day. I think that something too, I became obsessed with one of my friends, and the fact that she had this other female friend who coincidentally happened to be my boyfriend at the time's ex-girlfriend. So it was this double whammy where I was like, oh my God, like, she's my boyfriend's ex and she's my friend's best, my other friend's best friend. Like, she must be the best person ever, and everyone loves her, and everyone loves her. I was obsessed with him being still in love with her. I was obsessed with my friend being friends with her. And my life got really small for about a year. And this is a dramatic tale, but it's just the truth. Suddenly she was representing all the things I wasn't. And this is true for like the middle school stories too. It's like, you're rich, you're skinny, like you have all these things going for you, and you have the inside jokes and you have the charm and stuff. And, you know, I just didn't feel like I had that. And I think that I my life got small, not because it was small, but because I was ignoring everyone who was like out there who really loved me too. All of a sudden, all I was thinking about was essentially three people.
Yeah.
And so it's like right now your focus is these two people, and it's really hard, and you're measuring. I can only imagine, like, you're calculating how they're behaving and thinking about how they're looking at you. And, you know, take a breather, like invest in people you haven't spoken to in a while. As we were talking about, it's kind of scary, but it's rewarding, you know.
Yeah.
And it takes work. And then when you come back, you're a little bit more forgiving about the inside jokes because yeah. you're not counting on them to fill your whole tank.
Yes. Love. Okay. Well, I have an important question for you, Carolina, which is, what is your favorite TV or movie female friendship?
It's a really good question. I would say an underrated movie. And when I say underrated, I mean, I want whoever is listening to go watch this movie. It's called Dick, and it's with Kirsten Dunst, Michelle Williams, and it has to do with Watergate and Richard Nixon. That's all I'm going to tell you. What do you think your favorite?
Well, recently the movie Hustlers changed my life, and it really made me think about female friendship, and it was one of my favorite portrayals of female friendship ever. But I would say, like, Robin and Giselle from Real Housewives of Potomac. I love them as friends. I feel like they can tell each other when they have a problem, and then they move right past it, and they're just like them against the world. They're there for each other.
Ramona Singer and Sonia Morgan.
Ramona and Sonia. I mean, Ramona is obviously a more complicated character, but like, yeah. I do think Ramona deeply, deeply cares for Sonia. And it's like, she's been there through her hardest times. I think same Sonia for Ramona. She's been there through her hardest times. I think also Lorelai and Suki and Gilmore Girls are great friends, although it's mostly just Lorelai complaining to Suki and then Suki like listening.
Well, I was going to say Liz Lemon and Jack Donaghy on 30 Rock, but I think that is our relationships with Jack Donaghy always saying, good God, Lemon. Like, I feel that way about you sometimes where I know that you're going to just comment on something. But I feel like I've grown.
Wait, you think I'm Jack Donaghy?
Yeah.
No! I wanted you to say that we're like Jenna and Liz, and you're saying I'm Jack Donaghy.
Oh, we are like Jenna and Liz, yes.
Okay, I'm hurt, but I do accept that I am Hilaria's husband.
I think we actually take different turns between being Jenna and Liz.
No, you're just trying to make me feel
better.
No,
I'm not, because I identify with Jenna a lot of the time, like how she gets jealous of babies for their skin.
Go on.
And what are you saying this for?
I was going to say Walt and Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad friendship, but that's not female.
Well, that's also completely warped, and they make each other commit murder.
Okay, I'm like, goals o'clock.
Yes.
Hey, goals o'clock. I stand. We stand a friend.
Well, we thank you for everyone who wrote in.
Even though we just revealed we know nothing about friendship, because we're like, okay, our favorite friends are housewives.
We're like, when was a friend movie? I'm like, she wrote the Twomp?
Our housewives and Jesse and Walt, but we will post some other of our favorite friends.
Pal movies.
Pals.
Thank you for tuning in, and Devin, I love you. And Beth, I love you.
Oh, that was hard for her to say. Okay, we love you guys. Thank you, Olivia. Thank you, Brian. Bye. All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true. True romance, it's so romantic. Love.